Good evening, one and all, and welcome to our midweek church service on this 12th day of August 2015, Wednesday evening. Welcome to those on the phone and those listening to the recording. And praise God that we're able to come back together to unitedly with one voice praise God and give glory to His holy name. So welcome, dear ones. It's good to see you all again. Our opening hymn for this evening is entitled Redeemed. And the lyrics can be found on our website at lightministries.com in the section of music and then in the section of hymns in the home church area. So, redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent, His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting in yonder bright mansion for me. And soon with the saints made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I invite you to please kneel and bow your heads for opening prayer to tonight's service. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so very much for Thy merciful kindness throughout the first part of this week. We thank You for Your divine protection and watchful care. We thank You so very much for hearing and answering our prayers and for being in control of all things and for ruling and overruling in all our situations and the situations of Thy people around the world. Thank You for Thy tender mercies and loving kindnesses, which without this world would truly be a miserable place. And so, Father, we lift our voices in gratitude and praise to Thee for being our Father. We meet here in the name of Jesus, and we give You full control of tonight's meeting. Please pour thy Spirit out upon us in rich abundance, and please, Spirit, lead and guide us into all truth. Savior, dispel the darkness in our hearts, and let us see your shining face and be captivated by the light shining from it, the knowledge of the truth, and let that ever increase within us. We thank you, dear Savior, for being our great physician and for being close to those who need your help. And we uplift those that are sick among us, those that are ailing, those that need your healing presence and grace with them. And please do so, whether this is a physical ailment or a mental ailment or a spiritual ailment. And we thank you for healing them, for giving them the balm that no worldly physician can give them. Only you can, and we thank you for doing so. We thank you, Godhead, for being here in our midst, and please help us to glean more gems of truth from thy word tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We're continuing in our study book of Ephesians. We're almost to the end of this book. We're at verse 14 of chapter 6, and we left off with Paul admonishing God's people to clad themselves with the whole armor of God. Not part of it, not just the sword, but no body armor, but they're to put on all the armor of God so that they would be able to withstand all of the attacks of the evil one and be able to withstand them. So Paul didn't say that it would be an uneventful pathway to heaven, but this pathway was going to be filled with different attacks of the enemy. And so God had mercifully given each one of his people armor so that they'll be able to withstand the attacks. Not be overcome by them, but be able to beat them back and not be harmed by them. And Paul ended by saying, and having done all, or having done everything that you can possibly do to be prepared, then stand. Didn't say sit, but to stand firm. And when a strong wind is blowing your way, you can't just stand completely upright, because then you'd be blown back. But you have to brace yourself. And the winds don't always blow at the same intensity. There's periods of calm, and then there's periods of intense winds. And then they alternate back and forth. So God gives us armor so that we're able to withstand the varying intensities of the attacks of the devil. Sometimes we have to brace ourselves. Other times we can advance without any problem. But we're to be prepared. That means we must study to know the signs of the times. Study to know where we are in the stream of history, the stream of prophecy, how soon the coming of the Lord is, what signs show us we're in the very last days. We're to know these things. And thus we know exactly how soon the end is going to come. And thus we can be prepared. That's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So Paul then brings up an allegory of actual armor pieces, and he likens these to different aspects of a Christian's life so that they can be prepared to withstand in all times of attacks of the devil. And the first piece of armor that Paul brings up is your loins girt about with truth. So the very center of your body, the most vulnerable parts of your body, are to be girded about. They're to be tied together, closely knit with the truth. Now, this didn't say error, and this didn't say false doctrine, and this didn't say side issues, and this didn't say custom and tradition. This didn't say preconceived ideas and opinions. This said having your loins girt about with truth. So where do we find the truth? God says His word is truth. So God's word is the truth. That's what we're to have the very central core of our body tied together with, closely knit with, covered over with, the truth. So then if you find yourselves believing something that's not founded in God's word of truth, then are you truly covered over in preparation to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Would you be fully able to withstand the devil's attacks if you're not covered with the truth? Not at all. If the most vulnerable parts of your body are uncovered, then they're unprotected. And that's what error does to you. That's what false doctrine, preconceived ideas and opinions, custom and tradition, that's what that all does to you. It leaves you vulnerable to the devil's attacks. I mentioned this before, but we had a dear sister in here that was fellowshipping with us. And she was not girded about with God's word, but she was listening and partaking of fanatical ideas and doctrines. And those fanatical ideas and doctrines left her vulnerable. And she ended up giving up the Sabbath and then giving up God's word, all because she was not girded about with God's word of truth. And the same thing is going to happen to us, dear ones. That's why the truth is so important to know and understand and to study for yourself. And you can't trust the words of others as to what is truth or what is not truth. You have to study for yourself. You have to see it in God's word. You have to compare line upon line, verse with verse, in order to understand God's truth. So that's the first piece of the armor, is the truth. Then next comes the breastplate of righteousness. So once you know the truth, then you're not just to keep it separated from your life, but you're to follow that truth. And that truth will always lead you to be righteous in your thoughts, words, deeds, and actions. So once you have the truth, you're to follow it. And that then leads to the next piece of armor, which is the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness protects your heart, your lungs, your chest from attack. So if you are not living the truth, but you're still partaking of sin, of unrighteousness, then your chest is wide open to attack. So you can have your loins girt about with the truth, but if you're not living the truth, you're still wide open to attack. And a well-placed arrow from the enemy can strike your heart. And then, what good is the truth if your heart is not with the Lord? Amen. A comment in the room says it's like lung cancer. You can know everything about the 8 laws of health, but if you're not living them and you end up developing some terrible disease because of your bad lifestyle, what good was the truth about the 8 laws? It's just head knowledge. You didn't put it into practice. What good is it to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior if you don't follow Him in your life? What good is it to know God's 10 commandments, including the Sabbath, if you don't live the 10 commandments and keep the Sabbath? That knowledge of the truth is only going to bring you into greater condemnation if you don't follow it, because you knew it to be truth. So once we know the truth, we're to follow it. Once we have our loins girt about, then we're to put on the breastplate as well. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, anything else you'd like to share before we continue? Please go right ahead. Now, it's interesting here. God gives each one of us this armor. So we have to go to God in order to obtain it. Where do we find the truth? From God's Word. In searching and knowing the truth, God is giving us the parts of the armor that girt about our loins. Where do we go to find righteousness? We go to God, the Lord, our righteousness. He gives us the grace and the strength and the divine power to follow and live the truth. And in following and living the truth, God is giving us that breastplate of righteousness. So that's just two pieces of the armor. The third is done in verse 15. Paul says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So then our feet are to be shod with the gospel of peace. So then our feet are not to be swift in running to mischief, our feet are not to be dealing with gossip, dealing with false accusations or evil surmisings about others. It's also not to be involved in spreading falsehood, fanaticism, and any kind of error. But we're to have the shoes of the gospel of peace. But where do we find this gospel of peace? From the Prince of Peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. So once we know the truth and are clothed with the girdle around our loins, and once we are following the truth and we have the breastplate of righteousness, then we're not just to keep it to ourselves, but we're to put on the shoes of this armor that allows us to spread the gospel of peace. So we're not just to hoard the truth to ourselves, but we're to spread it. Once we know the truth and are following the truth, then we're to share the truth with others. So if you know the truth but are not following it, and you then try to share it, people are going to note your hypocrisy, and it's going to undo all of your good efforts at trying to spread the truth. That's why the breastplate of righteousness comes before the shoes of the gospel. You are to live the truth before you share the truth with others. And that way they see that your life is in harmony with your words, with what you're preaching. And they see the example of what this truth can do for them in you. So this armor that God gives us is a step-by-step process. And it's purposely designed that way to teach us how to be proper Christians, proper examples of Christianity, and also how to withstand all the attacks of the enemy without falling, without being overrun, without being conquered by the enemy. So God's word is indeed the truth. Following the truth will allow us to become righteous in life. And once we know the truth and are following the truth, then we can share the truth, the gospel of peace, with others. And this didn't say the gospel of division or the gospel of disunity or the gospel of attacking God's people. It's not the gospel of warfare. It's the gospel of peace. Peace between God and mankind through Jesus Christ, and peace among one another in the same faith through Jesus Christ. So those that are bent on attacking God's messengers, those that are bent on trying to prevent or discourage the unifying of God's people together, those that are bent on spreading slander or evil surmisings or falsehoods about another. Their feet are not shod with the gospel of peace. Their feet are shod with another gospel, the counterfeit gospel. And so again, by their fruits ye shall know them. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, dear ones, before we open it up to a season of prayer? And please feel free.
Good evening, everyone. I'm wanting to ask for your prayer. In a way, Elder Robert, you've already answered that. Your opening prayer asked for people suffering from any needing emotional healing and so on. And I feel I need so much right now. I can ask all you dear people here tonight to pray. I have one dear friend I could ask, and James, of course, but it's very personal, but I want to tell you because I want you to understand what I'm feeling. You know that I don't have any contact with my children much, and one of my grandchildren, my firstborn, also cut me out of her life 4 years ago, and the only reason I can think of is that she was very good friends with my second son's wife, and they split up. It was the wife's idea, not my son's, and because Chelsea, my granddaughter, was so close to the ex-wife, I think that's why she cut me out. I wrote her some the sort of loving notes that you would write, saying, you know, you miss her and you want her and so on, but she ignored them entirely. And so after a couple of years, I let it go. And then last Friday, I had a text from my grandson, who's 23. I called him my second best friend on earth. He's a lovely lad. And he sent me a text that said, I'm really sorry. I've got some sad news for you. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what? And he said, Chelsea was married this afternoon. And the pain of that was almost more than I can bear. I say almost more because you always have the Lord. And you have other good friends like James. What do people who don't have the Lord do when they get news like that? What do they do? Anyway, very shortly after that, I had a text from my granddaughter, the one married one, and all it didn't say, Dear Nana or Love Chelsea, it just said, You were sorely missed. And I felt like screaming I was sorely missed because I wasn't invited. I didn't answer the text. But since then, as you can imagine, I've cried and cried and cried. I've prayed and prayed and prayed. But I'm feeling, feeling pain is okay. Christians can feel pain and come to the Lord for healing. But I'm feeling such a deal of bitterness. And bitterness is not a Christian characteristic. I suppose I've felt bitter before. I don't ever remember feeling bitter. I feel so bitter that everyone was there, all in their finery, you know, and Grandma wasn't there. I feel anger. I don't feel hate. I feel anger. Her grandfather, my ex-husband, was there with his ninth wife. I wasn't there. Everybody was there but Grandma. And I can't help feeling so bitter and angry, and I don't want to feel bitter and angry. And I ask, please, that you pray for me, that I get over this. You know, it's not the worst thing that could happen to me. The pain is almost unbearable. Praise the Lord that I have the Lord. Praise the Lord that I can ask you people. I can tell you a very personal story like this, and I know that you will understand. And I just do pray, Lord, everybody. I pray, Lord, and I pray, everybody, take away the bitterness, the pain. I guess I can deal with, but the bitterness and the anger. I don't feel hate. The bitterness and the anger is not normally what I'm feeling. thank you for listening, and I hope it hasn't been too personal, but you are the people that I know I can share with. And thank you for listening.
Well, dear sister, thank you for honoring us with what you're feeling and going through at this moment. The hurt and the pain that you can feel the most keenly come from loved ones. And that's one reason why the devil works upon the members of a family to try and afflict in the most keenly felt way God's followers. Because he knows it's going to cut them so deeply in their heart, in their feelings and emotions, that they wouldn't respond that same way from a stranger or even from a friend. But God knows exactly how it feels, because Christ, as our Lord God, was here on this earth. And he felt the deep knife-like pain in his heart when his brothers and sisters and even his parents didn't understand the truth and the mission that he was to follow and uphold. So our Savior has gone through greater pain than what you're feeling, dear sister, and I'm sorry that you're having to feel it. And so he is an example that you can look to, and we all can look to, in seeing what to do in circumstances and situations like this. Christ kept his eyes fixed on his Father and following his will. And even though he felt the pain, the deepest pain, when his own beloved didn't understand him and shunned him, yet he knew that he had to continue forward. He knew that he couldn't give the least bit of room for the enemy to come into his heart and control him through his emotions. And we have the promise that when the enemy comes in like a flood, whether that's through emotions, whether that's through temptations, whether that's through family members, whatever it is, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard of truth and righteousness against him. Isaiah 59:19. So, dear sister, the pain that you're going through, we can sympathize with you. But Christ sympathizes even more with you. And he can indeed give you the grace and the strength to resist the temptation to become bitter, the temptation to try to seek revenge, if you will, in varying degrees, or to harbor resentment. So God can take all of those things away. He can lift up that standard, that barrier against those things, if you continue to look to him and to trust in him and to rest in him. And there's also the possibility that perhaps Chelsea requested one of the family members, or perhaps thought that one of the family members would contact you and let you know of the date. There is that possibility. And so when you weren't there, she then said that you were missed. So, dear sister, we will indeed keep you in prayer. And, in fact, let us go ahead and bow our heads right now, dear sister, for you are very precious to us. And we don't want to wait another minute before we pray. So let us bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we can come to thee in any time of need and that you will not turn us away. And we thank you, Savior, for taking our prayers and purifying them and sanctifying them through the incense of your righteousness so that the Father can instantly hear and then answer according to his perfect will without there being any delay. And dear Father, we lift up our dear sister Ida, or excuse me, our dear sister Lucy, that you will be with her, that you will lead her, that you will guide her, that you will comfort her, that you'll take away the pain and the ache, and that you will also work upon the hearts of Chelsea and other members of the family, that their hearts will be softened and that they will not just continue the battle that was begun years ago, but that they will for themselves determine to come back and to be part of our dear sister Lucy's life. And please, Father, give Sister Lucy the words, the deportment, the peace in her heart that she needs to be able to handle this in the way that Christ would handle it, so that even her example through this will be a witness to her family members. But most of all, please comfort her and hold her in your strong arms. And thank you so much, dear Father and Savior, for doing so.
Thank you, Elder Robert and everyone. I meant to add, and I just want to say now, I don't feel any anger at you, Mr. Chelsea. I love her dearly. I'm going to visit her tomorrow, take a small gift, but I'm going in love. She's going on her honeymoon in a few days, and I just want to go and wish her the best, and I can do that in all sincerity because I have the Lord with me. The bitterness is not towards her. I don't know. I'll leave that one alone, but I am going to see her in love tomorrow, and I know that the Lord will be with me. He'll give me the words to say. It'll just be a short visit, but I'm looking forward to it very much, and thank you all so very much.
Shall we have a word of prayer?
Yes.
The gracious Father in heaven, thank you for the dear Savior. If it weren't for him, we wouldn't know that someone has suffered ultimately, who could not suffer more. There was no room more to suffer. He has fulfilled the commission to take on the sins of the world, the suffering of the world, upon one being. One that's just above 6 foot high. Our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can trust that you're not trying to deceive us. We have the words of truth. Though written down by man, it's inspired by God, because it's not for selfish gain that it was done by men. We thank you that we don't have to be deceived by the many churches that and organizations that exist today that don't only believe in your word, but other words that go directly against the plainest statements of Scripture. That the more we read the truth, the more we can know it, but especially do I ask that we would do it as much as we read it and be able to receive more of the latter rain power of the Holy Spirit that's being presented and offered to every single one of us that the world so badly needs to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ and not their own so-called righteousness that is so born in mankind, a natural tendency to think that somehow there's something really good about us. Father, if it weren't for Jesus, how would we know what truth was? If it weren't for the law that he magnified, how would we know when, if any of us were called to even meet the devil himself, impersonating as someone else? Thank you for the precious gems of truth that have made us what we are today. And thank you for holding out to us the opportunities and the possibilities that have gone before through the movements of the past. And that we do not have to be limited to the success that's gone in the past. In fact, we have such a success predicted in prophecy to lighten this whole earth with the glory of God that I can't see one thing that's not available to us. And it's always been this way, but the church has never been ready to receive her King. Oh, please inspire us with your Holy Spirit to long after thy Son's coming, more than we have in the past, even if it's great that we've done in the past, even if it's been a long time in wanting and willing to see that event come to pass. And thank you for doing this because you hear your servants and you know what they need to know and you know what they need to suffer. That we would suffer as Christians. This, above all things, we pray for because we don't know what the future for our individual life is going to be, nor corporately speaking, as a church on this earth. But we do know you do, and we do know that if we trust you, that is enough to take on all the weaponry that has been figuratively explained about being prepared against the devil's almost endless evil that he's accumulated in ability and skill to throw forth to poor, frail, weak, sinful humanity. Thank you for clothing us with power to withstand that and to stand, and as Elder Robert said, not to be sitting down, but standing in defense, using the weaponry of heaven and not the earth, using the love of heaven and not the earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
If there's anyone else that would like to pray, please feel free to do so.
I wanted to share something really short. It's not much of a prayer. I guess I'm thankful. The coworker that I mentioned to all of you last week, was it last week? Yeah, it was last week. Last Sunday, her mom was in a car accident, and she was, can you hear me? Hello? Her mom was, in a car accident, because she got head-on collision by a driver, and she was in a coma. Yes. Well, she woke up from the coma this week, and she's doing better. Yes, Courtney's mom. So today was Courtney's last day to work, because she has to go back to school. But she told me yesterday, they told her that I had Ray Church family pray for her. And she said thank you. So, that's what I wanted to share, and praise the Lord for answering our prayers. I know, like, whenever one of us is going through something, you know, you gotta call the gang, and then you go, you become prayer warriors. And then, you know, we'll pray for each other, be there for each other. Mrs. Lucy, my deepest sympathies, I completely understand how you feel and how I honestly wish, I wish you would, could give you my mom's number so you can talk to her. I really, you know, she would, that would be lovely.
Well, praise the Lord. That is wonderful news that her mom came out of the coma and appears to be fine. And we'll continue to uphold the mother in prayer that there'll be no residual brain damage or any kind of changes in her character or mood or disposition because of the coma. And praise God indeed. And her sister, it's okay if, you know, you're uncomfortable in giving a public prayer. That's fine, because it's not forced. It's something that's voluntarily given. And if and when the time comes, then, you know, please feel free to pray here. If not, then thank you so very much for your prayers. Your personal prayers and private prayers for each one of us. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, anything else that you'd like to share, any songs or requests? Please feel free.
Hi, dear sis and brother. Do you want to go out of the room and come back in and try so we can hear you? You probably can't hear me.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercies and His praise. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trust and serve Him every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toys of life repay. For when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Hooray! Let us then be true and faithful, trust and serve Him. And na 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 na, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout for victory. Hooray! Amen.
Amen, sister. What fantastic news you've shared this morning. Well, your evening over there. That's fantastic. And as Elder Roberts said, we hope that Courtney's mum won't have any of those side effects that some people can get after coming out of a coma. Love to sing a song. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin and despair like the sea waves cold threaten the soul with infinite loss. Grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, points to the refuge, the mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing a crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother. I had never heard that song before. And praise the Lord. It was beautiful. Well, I mentioned earlier Isaiah 59:19, and I'd like to sing that for you now. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, Isaiah 59:19. And here's a scripture song for our dear sister Lucy. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Psalm 61, 1, 2, and 3. And a strong tower from the enemy. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. Well, dear ones, is there anything else that you'd like to share before we close? Any questions, comments, thoughts, any songs or requests? And please feel free.
Well, last Saturday, I invited a taxi cab driver over for Sabbath to have Bible study, but it turns out he couldn't come. And he was working, and he had to work. So I just wanted to put into prayer that perhaps, you know, my husband and I could, like, get, like, Bible studies going here where we are, trying to give the gospel. So I see you guys as prayer warriors. And it'll help. More prayer, more power, right? So, just hope that we can keep that in prayer.
Well, dear ones, I want to thank one and all for coming and fellowshipping. Thank you so much for your participation, for your thoughts, your prayers, your testimonies, your requests. Thank you also for sharing your deepest emotions and what you're going through, and we will continue to keep you all in prayer, and thank you so much for your love and prayers for me and mine as well. And I'd like to leave you now with this scripture song. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16:33. So keep looking up to the Savior, dear ones, and may he indeed give you peace. So may God bless, and we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon, in just a couple days.